We are approaching the week 4 game here on the Ira Kaufman podcast featuring the sage of Tampa Bay sports, the Baron of Big Storm Beer, Mr. Bill Curry Ford, the King of Pasco County, Uncle Ira himself, Ira Kaufman. I'm Steve Isbitz of JoeBucksFan.com. Lee DeKemper of JoeBucksFan is here. We're fired up on this podcast, Ira, and it's all presented by Bill Curry Ford, Tampa's first family of Ford for the last 60 years, family owned and managed by our great friend, Sean Sullivan, who is just chomping at the bit to help any Bucks fan in any way he can. And that just means if you want some advice on getting out of your lease or buying a truck or used vehicles, whatever it is, you can call him, you can email him, you can text him. He is ready, and you want to get it started at BillCurryFord.com. You can find Sean's email there if you want and shop online. Use your Joe Bucks Fan Ira Kaufman discount. Sage, how are you today?
I'm feeling very refreshed, and I think it will come across in this podcast. I'm just coming off 3 days of sun and fun, gentlemen. Daytona Beach Shores, our favorite hotel. We put Cosmo in the kennel. Who knows what the hell they're doing to him in there for 3 days, but he's none the worse for wear when we got him today. The Lightning won the cup. I feel so happy for a lot of people in that organization. I mean, behind the scenes, guys, I know all the, you know, the equipment managers and the trainers and the guy that does the video, all those guys, and it was great to see them hoisting that cup and Jeff Vinnick slurping like a drunken sailor, but that's all right. I'm so refreshed, gentlemen, that I've recovered from the Tuesday night debate, and that is saying a mouthful. DeKemper, if I know you like I do, you probably skipped on that one. You did not. Yep. You probably watching maybe a little Iditarod on ESPN4, perhaps, something like that. But I was over there in our hotel room, and at the 8-minute mark, I turned to my lovely wife and said, "This is awful. This is a disaster." But I didn't turn it off, because once I watch a show, I stick with it. Just like, you know, the 2006 Tampa Bay Buccaneers. When I watched them play, I didn't turn that game off. They finished 4-12. Bruce Gradkowski, Gruden's kicking a field goal when he's losing 20-0 with 10 seconds left. But I stick with it. DeKemper, how do you like that? I'm feeling refreshed, and I'm going to be very rambunctious on this podcast.
2006, Bucks. Of course you stuck with it. You were in the press box. You're getting paid to stick with it.
You know, I was at that game in Pittsburgh. That was a real low point. Boy, was that a low point. Gradkowski is a Pittsburgh guy, and Gruden kicked that field goal. I think the final was 20-3, and we asked him, "What are you doing kicking a field goal? Why don't you try to score a touchdown?" And we didn't want this kid to, you know, get blanked in his hometown. Oh, that was a real low point. What's up, Steve?
Yeah, Ira, of course you stuck with it. You were just saddled with free food in your gut. You couldn't even stand up back in the old days when press boxes
only two
were...
two pierogies that day, Stevie. Two pierogies kept me going. And, of course, Lee knows that story when I went to the Primanti Brothers with some of the Lightning guys. And I'm surprised they even talk to me now, because this place is famous for their overstuffed sandwiches. And I go in there and I ask them, what kind of soup they had. And the waiter said, "I've been here 12 years. Nobody's ever asked for soup."
I thought it was a salad.
Who are you? Oh, soup and a salad. Soup and a salad. And
shame on you.
I had a good comeback. Steve, I had a good comeback. I said,
"There was no comeback.
It's on the board. You got it on the board. If it's on the board, then it's fair game." He goes, "Nobody ever asked for that. You're in the Primanti Brothers." But
shame, Ira.
Shame, shame.
World famous Primanti's, and you order a salad.
You know, it's like going to Big Storm, Steve, and getting, you know, asking for alfalfa sprouts or something. It's just not done.
It's like going to Big Storm and asking for a Sprite. You just don't do it. You just don't do it. Yeah, all right, Sage. Now listen, I got to pull you back on track here. You're all over the place. You're so refreshed. You don't know what the hell you're saying. Shaq Barrett, Defensive Player of the Week. Levante David, NFC Defensive Player of the Month. Antoine Winfield Jr., NFC Defensive Rookie of the Month. What the hell's going on in Tampa, Ira?
What the hell's going on is, once in a while, read my column over there. Tuesday, I unfurled a theory that this is no longer Tom Brady's team. How do you like that, DeKemper? That's how refreshed I am. all the offseason hype about Brady, and he hasn't been bad. But, gentlemen, this is now a defensive team. Get used to it. Lee and I talked all the offseason. If only they could get the 15th overall defense. Only if they can get the 15th in scoring defense. What a year the Bucs are going to have. Well, right now, that looks like a very low bar. Lee, I'll say it again. I'll say it every week until it changes. 9 consecutive solid defensive games. How many in a row do they have to have, Lee, before they earn our trust?
At least for me, they've earned my trust already. But, you know, you still got to score points. And you could have the greatest defense God ever created. And if you don't score points, it doesn't matter.
Well, they're scoring a ton of points in the first half, Lee. A
first
ton.
Quarter, I know, yeah. They lead the NFL in points scored in the first quarter.
Whoa, nice.
The NFL, you know, and I referenced the lost decade. The best coaches they had for scoring in the first quarter, Bruce Arians, Steve, were they third or sixth last year? I can't remember. But they were up there. They were up there pretty high. And take the other, guess the other coach. That actually scored a lot of points in the first quarter.
Shiano.
Yeah, which is a little surprising. Oh, but boy. To me, that's not just production on the field. But there's more to it. There's scouting. There's preparation. That shows that the scouting is ticked up. That shows the coaching is, you know, they're preparing these guys. They're putting them in a proper position in order to score, in order to take a lead early.
Steve, it's a new day in Tampa Bay. Not only, Steve, in regard to overcoming sluggish starts in games, that's it looks like it's history, but overcoming sluggish starts in seasons. Because in my book, unless you guys talk me down from the ledge, I got them 3-1 after the first quarter of the season. We shall see. They're a nice favorite, 7 points, nothing wrong with that. And the Chargers are all beat up, and the Bucs are a little nicked up. They are, I got to say it, after saying for 2-3 weeks, they don't have any injuries. They don't have any injuries. Well, they have a few. They do have a few. And, Steve, a 3-1 start would look very nice. I know that Raheem, I think, started 3-1 in 2011, and we know how that turned out. They were 4-2 at one point, and that was it. That's not going to happen to this team. So, Steve, we've harped a lot about, you know, stop starting the season 1-3. Well, that's not going to happen in 2020.
Yeah, 7.5 points it is now. Ira, the Buccaneers favorite over the Chargers, 1 o'clock on Sunday. We're all fired up for that. And yeah, 3-1 would be just new territory, feel like new virgin territory around here. It's been so long. Gosh, if they win 4 games in the first half of the season, that alone would stop a 7-year streak of not doing that. And 2 home games in a row to open the season, I don't even know right. What that would be like. So
you're right.
It's really exciting stuff here, Ira. But let's get to those injuries, okay? You mentioned it, that they're not what they were. So we've got Leonard Fournette, 2 days in a row, Wednesday, Thursday, not practiced. He came out with some sort of ankle injury. So that doesn't look good for Sunday at all. Chris Godwin, we're pretty sure that he's totally out for Sunday. And has not been practicing. And as Lee was listening on SiriusXM NFL radio on Wednesday night, Bruce Arians was on, and he I won't even use the word hinted, he basically said that Mike Evans isn't quite 100% yet. You know, those are a few big injuries, and the Evans thing is interesting when you know, look at the scope of the season and what it might take for him to get back, and that they have a Thursday night game coming up right after this Sunday.
The timing's fortunate that they're playing a Charger team that I think could charitably be called pedestrian or average, especially with their injuries. And a rookie quarterback, Lee, who has looked good but has not faced a pass rush like the Bucs. And I believe he got pounded by the Panthers pass rush last week. I think he might have got hit 21 times. It's a staggering number. He's got a little bit of mobility, but boy, the Buck pass rush, 11 sacks in the last 2 weeks. I think they're going to nail this guy 5 times on Sunday, pick him off a couple of times. He'll get some yards. I mean, they got some playmakers. Keenan Allen's very good. You know, the tight end's not bad. I think Mike Williams is banged up a little bit, but they have a very good running attack, Steve. I think it's 150 yards a game. That's very healthy, and they run the ball a lot. They're one of the few teams that really rely on the run with Eckler. He's an excellent, versatile player. So You know, it's a little test for the Buck defense, but nothing that I don't think they can handle with some of these injuries. My bet is with Godwin out, Evans is going to play. Lee, I'd be stunned if they went without Godwin and Evans.
Oh, I'd be shocked if Evans didn't play.
Scotty Miller is nicked up. Fournette, I think they can get by without this week. He was no factor last week. He didn't look good at all. You know, it's amazing, guys, and I don't want to jump to any conclusions, but, you know, when a guy doesn't have a good performance, the next thing you know, 2 days later, they say he's got some kind of an injury. It happens in baseball a lot. When a relief pitcher gives up a three-run homer in the bottom of the ninth, loses the game, all of a sudden the next day, the guy's got tendonitis. Well, when did he get it? Well, what do you mean tendonitis? He was out there. He didn't throw another pitch. They yanked him after that. Oh, he's got tendonitis the next day. So this happens all the time. I'm not saying these are fake injuries by the Bucks, but when you look at everything that's going on, Lee, the grand scheme of things around the NFL, and most predominantly against these teams that the Bucks happen to be playing, I mean, they're hitting the jackpot every week with these injuries. The Bucks are in relatively decent shape.
The thing about the Bucks injuries, it just happens to counter the Chargers injuries. You know, they're down two Pro Bowl players in the secondary. So right. that balances it out. Maybe it's just me. I'm a bigger believer in, even though I'm going to pronounce this properly, there's a little devil in my head screaming, "You dumbass, you got this wrong." Herbert, I keep wanting to say Hebert because I grew up with Bobby Hebert.
You're thinking of Bobby Hebert. This guy is Herbert.
Yeah, so Herbert, I'm a believer. He may have gotten beat up at Carolina, but he beat up Carolina's defense with 300 and some yards. And I saw him, I don't know who it was, against the Chiefs. It was against the Chiefs. He
absolutely
trucked some linebacker. Just blew him up like a fullback. Blew him up. I mean, Herbert's a big dude. So now as far as Evans goes, just to be clear and to be fair, Arians, you know, when he was asked about Evans, he was like, he's not quite 100%. He didn't insinuate that his injury was the result of bad play. He just said, he's not 100% yet. And then Arians added, he sort of confessed, like, you know, we've got to do a better job finding ways to get him open because he was double teamed so much. And, oddly enough, by the way, because he was double teamed so much, that opened up the middle for the tight ends. What is very interesting, on top of what Steve said, you know, talking about when Arians talked about Evans, Arians also said that he told Polian this on NFL radio, Bill Polian, Gronkowski, and I'm direct quote, is just now getting into game shape.
Look, he caught six balls. You know, it's not like you got a buck 20 out of him, but it was good to see him getting more involved. Steve, one more thing on these Buck injuries, just to put a little bow on it, a little tourniquet on it. Steve, they're not long-term injuries. That's the point. It's not like the guy's out for 8 weeks. Godwin's going to be back. Evans is nicked up, but he's playing. Fournette's going to be back. So, Steve, that's my point. They're not long-term killer injuries.
I hear you, Sage. I hear you now. I watched the Chargers-Panthers game, Ira. I took a bevy of notes. You would be very enjoyable with it, with pencil, and then I typed them up.
Did you watch it while the debate was going on, Isbitz?
No, I did not.
Okay.
No, I did not,
Ira. Okay.
And, Sage, I'm telling you, this Chargers team is stone-cold garbage at this point. I haven't seen offensive line play so bad since the Bucs were running Gazdar Chereles out there before he should have retired.
It's bad, Steve. It's bad. It's bad.
So Brian Bulaga.
Is he snapping that bad? I mean, he's in overtime. The Super Bowl champions.
Yeah, that's right, but they don't have all the same players available. That was 2 weeks ago. Mike Pouncey, his season is done. Pro Bowl center. Trey Turner, Pro Bowl guard. He's not practicing. Brian Bulaga's in there at right tackle, a guy who I thought the Bucs might get. He goes out of the game with a back injury, and they bring in a turnstile who just got worked over. And that was after Bulaga couldn't handle Brian Burns. And Herbert holds the ball too long. He had a strip sack early. Rich Gannon was calling the game. The guy was cringing every 10 minutes, it felt like. He's like, oh, he shouldn't have thrown that. Oh, my gosh, bad decision. The Panthers, this is probably the biggest thing, Ira. The Panthers, 4 of their first 5 possessions, they get in the red zone, but they can't score a touchdown because they have no red zone offense. The Bucs would have been up 20-21 nothing in that game if they were the Panthers. And Herbert throws a horrible pick with 10 seconds left in the first half. The guy runs it back all the way to the 8-yard line. Herbert tackles him. And, of course, they can't put it in the end zone, so they kick a field goal. It's 18-7, and the game was effectively over at that point. They're just so beat up that, you know, it was ugly.
Steve, you're absolutely on point, Steve. Lee, that's not a guarantee. There are no guarantees, except that Cosmo's going to lick my face for 20 minutes tonight. But there's no guarantee the Bucs are going to win this game, Lee. But I think it'd be shameful to lose it. I do. This team just lost to the Panthers. The Bucs would have beat the Panthers by 30 if they held on to a couple of easy balls. Steve's right about the offensive line. They're signing guys off the street. This Buck pass rush is feeling its oats right now. Bowles got them coming from everywhere. I'm not even sure how much they're going to have to blitz in this game, but if they have to, they will, and then it's going to be effective. This offensive line in front of Herbert. You know what? It makes Herbert's numbers even more impressive, Lee. It does. Now, their offensive line 2 weeks ago, they pushed Kansas City around. They've suffered some critical blows there, and it's a bad matchup for the Chargers. This is a really bad matchup for L.A.
The run blocking, I will say, was pretty good by the Chargers, but it was the pass blocking that was so bad. They were getting through without even blitzing very much. But Eckler is an extreme talent, and he's quick. But I just don't see the Bucs allowing anybody to run the ball, so why would they allow Austin Eckler to chew him up?
Well, that's sure. The point, Lee. That's the point. Who runs on the Bucs? I mean, who?
Nobody. Speaking about the defense, ESPN is coming to this conclusion using next-gen stats. Next-gen stats, there's no – it's black and white. You know, it's coming from sensors off players' equipment. They can find out how quick guys are, where guys are on the field. There's no room for interpretation. Take a guess who the Bucs' best defensive lineman is for getting through pass blocks.
Well, you might have a
33% chance of getting this right, of course.
You might be telling me William Golston. I mean, you might.
Yeah, which is really surprising because he's only got 3 quarterback hits. He's only got 1 sack, and the only thing I can think of is maybe the guy just doesn't have any closing speed, or he takes bad angles to the quarterback, or he's set up in a split where he doesn't have an opportunity to even breathe on a quarterback.
This guy's an interesting guy. Once in a while, you know, he blocks a kick. You notice him,
yeah.
You know, with those long arms. He is a good run defender. Always has been. He's a good run defender. That's his calling card. But Steve, I think what's interesting about Golston is the guy gets no notoriety, but year after year he's on the roster. I mean, the guy could end up being a 10-year vet with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers and then maybe go somewhere else. You don't see that very often in this league. He's got a lot of seniority. He's building it up, and he's quiet. He's not flashy, not a great interview. Not too many people talk to him.
He's a really smart guy, though. He's kind of shy, but he's a smart guy.
He's up and down on that depth chart, Steve, but he's a damn survivor. That's what he is.
Yeah, I mean, look, when you're on your fourth head coach with the same team, that doesn't happen very often, and especially since he's been up and down. I mean, he doesn't deserve the notoriety, Ira. I'm not going to go crazy here, but he's been worth the money and the investment, and he's still in his 20s, and he beefed up this season. Off-season, saying that he was, you know, focused on playing over 300 pounds, and he's handled the weight, and he looks good. So, you know, I hope he can stay healthy. What an asset for him to have a breakthrough year.
What year did he turn pro, Steve?
2013. He was a fourth-round pick by the Fighting Shianos.
So that was the year before Light came to town. Wow, remarkable.
Yeah.
Remarkable.
One of the rare third-day draft picks of Dominic that survived.
Well, he's playing well, and, you know, I've said it before, Bowles has bowled me over through 10 games last year, and I said it many times on this podcast, and I argued with the great Derek Brooks a lot about it on Tampa 2. And Brooks kept telling me, you know, I said, where is this great Bowles? Where is this guru? And, you know, Brooks said, just wait. Some of these defensive guys, they're young. They're going to get it. Patience. And lo and behold, you know, 2/3 of the way through last season, things changed in a big way, and Bowles he's got it all going right now, Lee. He's got these guys confident. He's sending these young Turks out on these missions, and quarterbacks are paying the price.
Here's one for you, Ira. Levante David said this today. I don't know if Steve was going to ask you about this, but I thought this was – I'm going to write a story about it Friday morning on JoeBucksFan.com. It really piqued my interest. Levante David was asked about Bowles, and among the things he said about Bowles was he actually listens to us. To me, that read, I've had defensive coordinators in the past that wouldn't listen to a word I say.
Interesting, interesting.
And to me, that screams Lovie Smith and Mike Smith. The Smiths.
You know, Steve, along those lines, that's all a player wants is a little communication. Steve, it doesn't mean that the position coach has to agree with everything that a player is suggesting. But if the player feels, guys, that he's being given a little bit of consideration, and then, you know, even if they decide to go in another direction, that makes a big difference. They're not taken for granted. You know, it's in the back of their minds. I'm not saying that's, you know, a guy's going to miss a tackle if he doesn't feel respected, but it goes a long way, Steve.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's a byproduct of Bowles himself playing many years in the league. You know, he's well-liked. He's always been well-liked by his players. They haven't always played hard for him at some of his other stops. But it's all going great now. I think they're going to keep blitzing like lunatics on Sunday and continue to rack up confidence. It's just a question of what happens. Can they adjust when they start to play the really good quarterbacks that you can't blitz Patrick Mahomes without paying a price, Aaron Rodgers.
Right. Yep.
But that's the fun stuff coming down the road. So, Sage, what's always fun is enjoying a Buccaneers game, a baseball game, whatever it is, with Big Storm Beer, because that's the official beer of this podcast. It is Florida's best craft beer. It is local, all brewed right there in Clearwater. They got their Odessa tap room. It's going to many states in the country because it's that good. And we know the owners. We know that they just care so much about quality. And you've got the Bromosa, the Tangerine IPA that we all love so much, the Wavemaker Amber Ale, which is the original that is stood the test of time. They've got so many other core beers, Tropic Pressure, Florida Ale that the Sage likes so much with that wonderful hibiscus smell. You got to check them out. BigStormBrewery.com. That's where you can find out where they sell the beer near you. And of course, Big Storm Clearwater, indoors and outdoors. That is the Sage's home for road games all through the season. We'll be there on Thursday for the Bucks-Bears game. Fun time, night game. Sage will be stuffing his face with their fantastic menu and probably no hogfish, Iris, so you're going to have to move over to something else.
Oh, I called an audible with that hogfish, but I got my eyes firmly on the brisket or the ribs for the Bears game. I'll be there a couple hours before the game starts, wash it down with a Bromosa. Hey, Steve, one thing we never mentioned about that expanded outdoor facility over there at Big Storm in Clearwater, it's extremely pet-friendly, extremely. And people are bringing their dogs left and right, all kinds of dogs, bulldogs, you know, dachshunds, labradors. I mean, it's unbelievable. And the dogs are well, the dogs are well behaved.
Ira, Ira, you're making people think that it's a zoo over there. It's not that bad, or it's not that good, however you want to frame it. But
well, the dogs are very well behaved. You don't even notice them. But if you want to go over and pet a pooch, and Lee, don't get carried away over there. But if you want to pet a pooch, you can do so. It's a very fan-friendly atmosphere.
Yes, as we said.
You got me thinking about this, Ira. Unfortunately, it doesn't have anything to do with Bucks. But did you hear about the parrots in England got put in the parrot jail?
No, I didn't hear about that.
Well, they got parrots in a zoo, and they had to put the parrots in a zoo jail because they kept cussing at the visitors. But I'd like to find out what a zoo jail is for a parrot. I mean,
that's
do they throw cats in the jail?
That's outstanding. We should have had them in the crowd at the debates Tuesday night. They might have shut both of those guys up. Oh boy.
Well, anyway, Ira, Big Storm Beer, fun times ahead. Details on all our watch events are at JoeBucksFan.com. Florida's Elite Restoration, that is your place to go and call, because you don't go there. You call them 24/7. If you ever see water in your home that doesn't belong there, or of course, if you see mold, because they are licensed mold remediation specialists They're not just some guy who does mold. They know what to do with it, how to handle it, how to manage the insurance end of it for you. Florida's Elite Restoration. They are the disaster specialists that you need to contact and keep track of their number, have it ready. Go to floridaseliterestoration.com. That's where you can learn about all their services. And they will be at Big Storm on October 25th with us, Ira, buying everybody a beer. And we'll have more details as that comes down. But a wonderful gesture by Florida's Elite Restoration, because they love the Bucks, they love Bucks fans, and they want to buy everybody a beer at Big Storm.
Beautiful. And, you know, not a lot of people know a lot about mold, Steve. How do you like that for a line? Not a lot of people know a lot about mold. So that's another reason why, you know, if you do see a potential problem, you're not sure. Hey, it's probably minor, but don't hesitate, because time is of the essence when it comes to mold. Look, the Bucks went through it at the facility. They had professional people come in there and clean things up. And these people are nothing but professional. No obligation inspection. You need somebody you can trust when it comes to mold. Florida's Elite Restoration.
Yeah, that trust is absolutely key. And, you know, we know Josh Martin and family and friends who run the business, and they are top shelf. And as Ira said, it is free, floridaseliterestoration.com, to get your assessment of what's going on. They'll come out to you. All right, Ira, wanted to run this past you because it was interesting. Tyler Johnson, of course, made his debut, and he dropped a pass that came his way, but he played a lot on Sunday in Denver, and Byron Leftwich talked about him and said that, you know, the kid played three positions, and he's very smart, and we're working him in, and three positions really impressed me as a rookie, Ira. And he also said, you know, a lot of great players have dropped their first pass, so I told him you're on the right track, and keep it up. We got that out of the way, and, you know, I have a feeling this guy might play a lot on Sunday.
You got to calm me down here, Lee, because when I hear the Buck coaches, and maybe things have changed with this staff, but when I hear Buck coaches talking about versatility and trying a guy at three different positions, I keep looking at that poster of MJ Stewart. I can't get over it, Lee. I just can't get over it. We're going to try him at corner. We're going to try him at safety. We're going to try him at nickel. Hell, they might even let him kick a few field goals in practice to see what the guy can do. Lee, am I overboard here with trying guys at different positions and not settling on one?
Didn't they do that with MJ Stewart because he couldn't do a damn thing and they were desperate to try to keep him?
That's so, part of it.
Let's wait for Tyler Johnson to drop another 8 or 9 balls before we start talking about him being a slot receiver or a tight end or something like that. It's a little premature. I understand where you're going, Ira, and that's just proof of what I come to believe, that many Bucks fans, because of the lost decade, suffer from PTSD, and so they're expecting, you know, the roof to cave in any moment now. So I see where you're coming from, Ira, but I think it's a wee bit premature.
I like this kid coming out of college, Steve. So Lee's right. I'm not going to draw any conclusions about him.
Yes, Lee is on the money, and I just want to say, if your roof does cave in, you do know that you contact Florida's Elite Restoration right away.
Absolutely. Look, the kid's a good route runner. He's got good hands. You know, he had an injury in training camp, and he's behind. Is he going to make a big contribution in 2020? Probably not. Probably not. Unlikely. But, you know, they're not cutting the guy. And he'll be very much in the mix next season and possibly late this season. When he gets a grasp of the playbook, and one drop ball is certainly not going to make Tom Brady look elsewhere if the guy's open. The key is, if he's open, he'll get the ball.
Sage, Donovan Smith and Carlton Davis are tied for the NFL lead in penalties, and the Buccaneers got a little sloppy last Sunday. What do you think that's going to happen this week? Is that going to get cleaned up? Is Tom Brady going to lean on his offensive line? What's going to make that finally clean up this season?
I'm not putting those guys in the same category whatsoever, Mr. Isbitz. Carlton Davis plays defensive back. If you're a defensive back in this league, most of the time you are going to be tested beyond belief by the masters of the rule book, the competition committee. Is basically destined. You're destined for failure. And Carlton Davis has had a few penalties. But overall, he's played very well this year. Donovan Smith has not. I'm not comparing Donovan Smith in any manner to Carlton Davis. I think one guy gets an A-minus and one guy gets a C-minus. And you can assign those any way you want, Kemper, but the sheer numbers don't tell the full story there.
I am starting to come to the conclusion that this is Donovan Smith's last season with the Bucks. They have an out after this year. He's no longer guaranteed. And I've always defended Donovan Smith. And I keep trying to tell people that coaches put a high priority on guys that they know can answer the bell. Now, I've not spoken with one person with the Bucks about this at all. But you know what? He's getting paid B-plus money. They're not getting a B-plus performance. You could argue maybe his play has slipped. And it's the same old stuff you've heard in the past. Some fans are saying, hey, he's taking plays off the Ronald Jones run where Jensen and Marpet and Werfs were, you know, looked like a Mike Alstott run. It was like a 9-yard run. It should have been stopped for a 1-yard gain. And I haven't looked it over. You know, I haven't seen the replay of it, but I've had a lot of people on JoeBucksFan.com say that Donovan Smith was just standing there while everybody else is blocking their tails off. And maybe it's the constant chorus of fans screaming about Donovan Smith. Maybe it's finally gotten to him. But I'm just starting to get the feeling that next year your starting left tackle might be Tristan Wirfs. I might be getting way ahead of myself here. It's only, you know, they're just entering week four, the fourth game of the year. Given the fact that they got to cut salaries next year because the salary cap's going down, I think Donovan Smith may just be a salary cap casualty. I'm starting to get there.
Durability off the charts, but Steve, when you're evaluating a left tackle or any player, I don't think durability should be the number one thing. It's not the number one thing. The quality of play is number one. Durability is in the mix. But if durability is number one, that doesn't reflect particularly well on quality of play. That's just me. I don't want a guy that gets injured every other week. I don't want that guy playing for me. I can't rely on him. But durability, Steve, in and of itself, it's just not enough, especially at the left tackle position. Yeah, you want a guy that you know he's going to suit up. But he's got to suit up and play well. And I think that's very much in question with Donovan Smith. And quite frankly, it has been since his rookie season.
Well, Sage, I think the easiest way I can say it is good organizations don't pay top dollar to inconsistent players who teeter around average. You just don't do that. And especially since the good organizations usually have other players they need to pay. And you listen to Bruce Arians this week. He said Ali Marpet, he believes, is a top five guard in the NFL. He also said on his radio show that Chris Godwin is the best blocking receiver in the league, on top of being just a super hungry guy who can get yak like nobody's business. And that's another guy they're going to need to pay. And look at what the defensive line's doing. You don't want to break that up. I just think they're going to run out of money. And especially if Arians really believes that Carlton Davis is a top 10 corner, look at the contracts the cornerbacks are pulling down across the league over the last couple of weeks. You know, if he really believes that, and that's just not a bunch of smoke, then that's going to be a guy they're going to think about maybe signing early after his third season. So Donovan Smith's in a tough spot.
Well, tackles don't grow on trees. Lee knows that. Could Wirfs shift over? Possible. I don't think Wirfs was necessarily drafted with that in mind. I got to see him a little bit more against premier pass rushers before I trust him on the left side. But he did perform ably against Cameron Jordan, and there's few that are any better than Cameron Jordan. So we shall see what happens this week. I believe, Steve, am I wrong? Melvin Ingram is not playing this week. And Chris Harris is not playing this week.
Yep.
Oh, boy. This is unbelievable what's going on with the Chargers. That's a break for the Buck offensive line. Ingram's a darn good defensive end. He's not as good as Joey Bosa, but he's darn good. We'll see what happens. Steve, do you Do you see Wirfs moving over if they decide to move on from Smith?
Yeah, sure.
Okay.
I mean, I don't think anybody would doubt that he could handle it. You know, why not?
Well, it's a different position. I mean, you know, it's a different stance. You don't snap your fingers and do it, but I'm not saying he's not capable of doing it. So far, so good with Wirfs. Those first two picks look very sweet right now.
All right, speaking of picks, Ira, it's about that time to dive into some picks, but I want to remind everybody that Bill Curry Ford, we love them. That is where you got to shop in Tampa. First, 1 mile north of Raymond James Stadium. Beautiful, large showroom. Plenty of room for social distancing. They'll actually even bring you a vehicle to test drive if you don't want to go there. They'll even do your service at your home. They've got these fantastic service vans, Ira. You can just call them up. They'll come out there, do your brake job right on your driveway. Amazing service. They are all about just taking care of people, right? Sean Sullivan is the man. Ask for him. He'll give you a discount, but more important, he'll give you honest assistance in whatever you need. He's that kind of guy, and he'll talk about Carlton Davis with you as well if you want. BillCurryFord.com. Let me start with Lee. Lee was victorious last week, as we all were, picking the Buccaneers to beat Denver. Lee, how do you see this game and a score?
Even with the injuries to the Chargers, I'm a big believer in a quarterback. I'm a big believer. I'm a big believer in production. I say it almost every recording of Ira's podcast. Production, production, production. And so far, Herbert produces. I'm going to say it's close. Let's say 31-28 Bucks.
Sage?
Despite some niggling injuries, I think the Bucks put it all together in week four. I think they crush Herbert. He'll look like a rookie on Sunday, and he hasn't in his first couple starts. 30-7, Steve. 37 before a sprinkling of fans at Ray J. I believe the suites will be open, Steve, as far as I know. And so will the Buck pass rush. 30-7 Buccaneers.
That's a big blowout, Sage. Big blowout from the Sage. You know, fans are available to go to the game. Now, they handpicked, starting with older season, longtime season ticket holders, but there's a video out, Buccaneers YouTube channel, where Casey Phillips walks through what to expect at the game. So if fans are really trying to figure out what that is, or they're thinking about getting tickets on the secondary market, which are extremely expensive. At least you'll know what you're walking into. No tailgating, which I don't understand, but that's not my decision to make. But yeah, no tailgating is what the Bucs have been telling people. Sage.
However, you could do like LSU fans. There was I can't remember, TV report or newspaper report or whatever. I read it or saw it. I can't. But LSU tried to do the same thing. No tailgating. Well, they basically started tailgating in people's yards. And it didn't stop them. It just moved them. And so with, you know, the neighborhood just east of the stadium, I'm sure there's going to be a lot of tailgating in people's yards.
And Steve, don't forget the Chargers are going cross country for a 1 p.m. Eastern game. Yep. That doesn't suit them very well. And it seems like a lot of things are stacked against the visitors.
Yeah, there's a lot. I just don't understand the no tailgating, Ira. You can't park your car and eat a couple of giant sandwiches and drink a couple of Big Storm beers on a chair. I mean, what the hell's going on?
They're going to have tailgate police out there. You've got three people. I'm going to write you a ticket.
I'm waiting for your pick, Stevie. Waiting for your pick.
All right, Sage. Well, 31-17 Buccaneers, and I'm picking the 17. I don't think the game will ever be in doubt, but Herbert does have a monster arm. He seems to be a good master of garbage time. They've got the receivers, and the Buccaneers' prevent defense, as we've seen, is awful. So I see the Bucs getting out to a nice lead, and you know, Herbert coming back with some touchdowns. But yeah, I'm going to go in 31-17.
Do we got a little feud going, guys, between Mike Evans and Keenan Allen? What's going on there?
Oh, yeah.
Goes back to the offseason when, Allen challenged Evans on Twitter, but Evans said that they're buddies, so it was just really all in fun, and, who's a top five receiver and all that, but it's all in fun, Ira.
This isn't Evans-related, but I want Ira's feedback on this. On NFL radio, when Aaron's made his appearance, Polian asked him, and I just thought that was weird. You know, Polian knows the score of the game. I don't know why Polian would ask him this unless I'm going, putting my cynical hat on, unless Arians asked Polian to ask him this. I'm not saying Polian is scripted, but this wouldn't shock me. Polian asked Arians if the Bucks had any trouble with the altitude. And right away, I'm thinking, what? You saw the score of the game. What are you talking about?
Right.
And immediately, Arians, he didn't even think about it, which makes me think this might have been scripted. Immediately, Arians said, and I'm going to emphasize the word Arians emphasized, I hope that wasn't the reason Godwin had a hamstring. And he wouldn't rule it out, but he certainly didn't dodge it or deny it, that the altitude could have been an issue with Godwin's hamstring. And I did some quick research, and I found out that altitude very much plays a factor in dehydration. And we all know dehydration can lead to pulled muscles.
Well, Denver certainly has had their share of serious injuries this year. I don't know if you could say it's the altitude that they practice in or whatever. It's interesting. That question could have been a plant by Arians. Could have been.
Plant. I like that word.
Ira.
A plant.
Ira, if Denver has injuries because of altitude, they need to fire the entire staff. Come on, man.
I'm not buying it.
But it could.
Arians didn't say it happened. He just said, he goes, I hope that's not. He emphasized the word hope.
Yeah.
Hey, by the way, without if Arians is trying to figure out a way to get Evans the ball if he's double covered, well, guys, you would think he's surely going to be double covered on Sunday without Godwin. You know, he had one of the strangest stat lines last week you'll ever see all season. 2 catches, 2 yards, 2 touchdowns. I mean, that's like a poo-poo platter. 2, 2, and 2. I mean, you just don't see something like that. And, of course, you guys should have seen me at Big Storm because I was going up against a guy who had Mike Evans. You can't make this stuff up. The ball's on the 1-yard line. I got Leonard Fournette. He's got Mike Evans. I'm thinking, I got 6 right here. Instead, I don't get the 6, and this clown gets the 6. I mean, well, what the heck's going on? And it happened twice. That's just not fair, Stevie. That's not fair.
It's fair, Ira, and that's what you get for playing fantasy football. Fournette's not going to be a factor this week. He probably won't play. And I'm real curious to see if Keyshawn Vaughn gets his first shot. Arians keeps saying that he is practicing well, and Ronald Jones is okay. We know Ronald Jones, but I don't get the feeling that they're going to give him 20 carries, so someone's going to get their shot. Maybe it's McCoy to carry the ball a little bit, but I hope Vaughn gets in there. It would be fun to see.
I don't remember if I think it was a reception that McCoy caught. Could have been a screen. The man beast, Zach, said to me, as he's running, he's trying to dodge tacklers, tuck the ball away, tuck the ball away. It reminded me of, what I said about McCoy with the loaf of bread. I mean, old habits die hard, gentlemen. I mean, that's the way he does it. He's got 12,000 rushing yards. It's hard to knock the guy. But, he wore out his welcome in KC with a couple of ill-timed fumbles. So far, it hasn't been a problem. A dropped ball's been a bigger problem than a dropped carry. But we shall see. I would like to see Vaughn get 5 carries on Sunday, Steve. Buck fans want to see this kid. They want to see something fresh. And I'm expecting a big Buck victory.
Well, just to translate for some folks, Ira, a poo-poo platter is Chinese food, and it's a very kind of an old school New York style dish. So, in case people were wondering if you were doing some strange things, and as far as carrying a ball like a loaf of bread, that's also another old expression, Ira. But I was wondering, when you're in Publix and you're basically belting these old ladies to get out of the way so you can get your buy one, get one free offers, are you holding the bread out there, and just sort of bashing them with it?
Well, the first stop is usually at the bakery. First stop, I go for the either a little Italian or a multigrain, and I carry it in my right hand. I don't put it in the cart. I carry it in my right hand. And if I come across anybody that's annoying, I give them like the back of the hand with the bread. Boom, right on the shoulder. It stirs them up, and they look at me and they say, oh, it's the sage. No problem. Move on.
All right.
Here we go, Ira, since you're talking about old things. The last podcast you put out, earlier this week, the big reaction to the podcast was you talking about old music. We all know that unless a musician had actually published some song at the time of Woodstock. They don't exist in your eyes, you know. So people were wanting to know why you didn't talk about, you didn't mention Tony Bennett and his San Francisco song, Fats Domino, and that Kansas City song, who some dopey local sports radio guy constantly said that. I just wanted to punch my radio until I finally got smart and bought Cirrus.
Well, look, if the category is, you know, songs affiliated with a city or state, guys, there's literally hundreds and hundreds of well-known songs. And Steve, I'm going to wrap it up on this note, and I'm gonna get serious a little bit.
You're not wrapping anything up because I still got a football question for you, but go ahead.
All right, you're right. I'm not wrapping up. I'm going to wrap up this segment, and I'm proud to say this. You know, and once in a while I go on Twitter and I say, happy 68th birthday to John Fogerty, knowing that. You know, half the people are going to say, John, who, why, what?
Yeah.
And I don't care. I don't care. And so I get the new issue of Rolling Stone. You know, I paid my money. I don't know, it was $10.
Wait a minute, you're still getting Rolling Stone?
I don't get it. I want to buy this particular issue. Take it easy, DeKemper. Take it easy. And it has the boss on the cover. The boss. And I'm not talking about Jason Light. This is Bruce Springsteen.
And I'm talking about Brian Glazer.
And Bruce just turned 71. 71, gentlemen. And it's a big interview and a big story at his farm in New Jersey. And anyway, I get this issue, and I brought it because we were going to the beach, and I needed something to read at the beach. And what am I going to do? Read my old Tribune press clippings? I'm not going to do that. So I opened the thing, and I read the interview, and it was a good story. And I turned the page, and the Rolling Stone list of the 500 greatest albums of all time. Oh, I say, oh, boy, this is going to be interesting. And they give me the list of the voters, you know, and there's like 50 people. And I recognize about three names out of the 50. And here we go. Well, number one was What's Going On, Marvin Gaye, 1971. All right, it was a great album, great song.
You're not going to read the list of 500, are you?
The first thing I see is Sgt. Pepper, number 24. Number 24. This is a groundbreaker. And then the one that really killed me was I'm flipping the pages, page after page. I'm looking for one particular I'm looking for a particular group. I can't find it. And finally, there it is. Number 423. Creedence Clearwater Revival. Finally, an album from CCR, who just happened to be the greatest band in the land in the 1960s, and if it wasn't them, it was the Stones or the Allman Brothers. And 400 better albums than anything Creedence put out? Shame on you, Rolling Stone. Shame on you. And I didn't care that there wasn't a Bette Midler in there, but you got to salute the great John Fogerty, gentlemen. I'm done with that, Steve. You may ask your buck question.
Got them wound up, man.
All right. Well, we want to thank, before I hit you with this question, Ira, we want to thank Bill Curry Ford, BillCurryFord.com. Start shopping right there, right now, 24/7. 24/7 is also the best explanation of when Florida's Elite Restoration is available. Learn about them at FloridasEliteRestoration.com and drink up Big Storm beer when you can, and you will never be sorry with all the great offerings from Big Storm Beer. Ira, I just wanted to ask you, and I'll go around the horn to Lee, and I guess I can wrap it up. Your best bet for this weekend, is anything you have your eye on in the NFL? Week 4 is a big transition week. You know, you've got to see what you wanted to see there, Ira. Do you have a game? You have your eye on something? What are we looking for?
Well, you know, I pick three games with Lee every week, and of course, Lee keeps screwing up my record, but I think he'll finally get it straight. I've been 2-1 on it. I've been 2-1 each week at 6-3. You know what? I'm looking at the games this week, and it pains me to say this. I think the Chiefs are going to lose. I think the Chiefs are going to lose to New England. I know that sounds crazy, but I sense a letdown. So much hype for the Ravens game. They played great. They made Baltimore look like, you know, they were the Denver Broncos or Carolina Panthers or New York Jets almost. And, you know, New England's not chopped liver, guys. I didn't even think they played great, and they beat Oakland by 20. Not Oakland, but the Raiders. And the Raiders had been playing well. I'm thinking New England beats Kansas City, but that's all right. The Chiefs are still going to win that division by three games. That's my pick.
Lee?
I already went to an offshore place illegally, I know, and I placed some money down. But I'm one of these kind of people. Once I invest in something, I completely forget about it because otherwise I'll bother the hell out of it. I don't care if it's the stock market. I don't care if it's a football game. It would just drive me bananas. So I absolutely forget about it. But I do know that although I had a little bit of reservation, I do know I'm going to continue doing this until I lose money, as in big money. As long as Lincoln Riley's the head coach of Oklahoma, you take the over. You take the over. I can't remember my NFL picks. I honest to God, I can't. I remember I took Tennessee to beat Missouri. I gave points. I took Oklahoma in the over, which I do every week. And I can't remember the last time I lost money on that. And there was another one. Oh, yeah. An acquaintance of mine who played offensive line in the SEC told me to hammer Memphis giving 22. I got it at 22. He had it at 21. Hammer Memphis giving 22 to South Florida.
Well, I got the Lightning beating the Stars in six games. I put 100 on it.
Well, Sage, I don't know why
I can't remember my NFL picks, but I remember the college picks.
Sure.
What jumps out at you, Mister Isbitz?
Well, Sage, you know, I said many times through the summer that I had invested a lot of money in the Buccaneers beating Carolina, and so that came through for me. And then I rolled a good chunk into the Broncos game last week where I was projecting a blowout. So I've got a lot of house money to play with. And Sage, you may laugh at me here, Sage, but I'm not going to edit this out, whatever happens tonight. But I really think the Jets were one of the best bets on the board tonight. So I have rolled some good money into the Jets to thump the Broncos. And even if I lose, though, I'm still okay.
I don't want you being morose on the weekend over there. That's your word of the day, baby. Morose.
What's beautiful sports radio is right now Chris Russo all week long. You know, Russo's a honk for Major League Baseball.
Yeah, he is.
And he's one of these guys, a playoff game always trumps a popular sport, no matter what. No matter what, it's a playoff game, it doesn't matter. Doesn't matter if nobody's watching, that's the bigger subject. So he's got all kinds of people calling up, wanting to talk football, and he won't let them talk football. He says, nope, baseball playoffs, we're concentrating on baseball. This Thursday night game will probably triple whatever the baseball playoffs are as far as TV ratings. But with Russo, it doesn't matter. So anyway, all week long, all these Giants and Jets fans are calling, screaming about how they can get the first round pick and get Trevor Lawrence. Both of them, the Jets and the Giants fans.
Yeah, he spent the first 20 minutes today talking about the baseball playoffs and a Yankees game that almost took 5 hours last night against Cleveland. Nine innings, Steve.
All right, Sage, what doesn't take 5 hours is this podcast, and you can subscribe at Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Podbean, wherever. And Ira, I'll leave you with a happy note. I've decided a couple of weeks ago to re-bump up the podcast on our page on Sunday mornings, and I have to say it's done wonders for your numbers. So I think we're getting a new audience on maybe people who just check in with us on game days, and so your numbers are soaring, Ira.
I said, Nancy Grace, look out. I'm on your coattails, Nance. Look out. You know, I saw her on TV the other day. I hadn't seen her, like, since the O.J. Simpson trial.
All right, get out of here, Ira. Enough of that.